right, Monday Night Football tonight. It's a playoff game with the Rams at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Matt Stafford's been in the league for a long time. No playoff success. I mean, you come from Detroit. I guess that's expected. And you got Kyler Murray in the playoffs for the first time. And this line, I believe, has been bet down. I think when we bet it on Friday, it was at -4. It's now Rams by 3. And to tee up that game and look back on the weekend, we're joined now by a longtime NFLer. You can see him and hear him on FS1. Here's Marcellus Wiley. How you feeling about tonight, Marcellus? You like the Rams or the Cardinals?
Oh, man, I like the Rams, but I don't have a ton of confidence in it. And I think the entire sports world has a silent rooting interest for the Cardinals just to see how L.A. spazzes out if Matthew Stafford reminds them of his Detroit version in terms of playoff woes and issues. I don't wish ill on anybody, but, boy, that would be great theater to see how the Rams try to justify getting rid of Jared Goff so that they can get a quarterback that's obviously more talented than Matthew Stafford, but can't take him any further than John Wolford did last year. So it'd be really interesting to see how the Rams could spin it, but I don't think they're going to be put in that position. I think the Rams win.
Marcellus, you think the Rams definitely between the two teams, they got the most skin in this game. The trades they've made throughout the year, every quote from the organizations on their social media account is, we are all in. So they got to be under the gun to get this done tonight, huh?
Oh, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you got a genius coach in Sean McVay who seems, if you want to look at the narrative at least, took a team with Jared Goff to the Super Bowl with one hand tied behind his back. And now all of a sudden you give him the quarterback he desires, a true talent at the position, and the arm cannon of Matthew Stafford, the sky should be the limit. At least the floor should be a Super Bowl appearance. And that's what you give up when you acquire Matthew Stafford. You give up the benefit of doubt, and now we just got to see results. And if Matthew Stafford can't produce tonight, I'm not so certain that we all going to sit there and really chastise this team if they don't win the Super Bowl. But they certainly can't be one and done. They certainly can't lose a home playoff game. Not with a quarterback that is obviously more talented than the one that they just had. That took them to a Super Bowl in years past.
Marcellus, what did you make of the play call and what happened in the Cowboys game last night?
Oh, I thought that was a silly play call. I think in football, there are a couple of things you just got to remember offensively. One, you should never call a play that you can't score on unless it's a kneel down. And they weren't in the position of winning or kneeling down. So now you got 14 seconds left to play, and you got Dak Prescott there, and you no matter what he's going to score. So it was just a setup play. Here's the problem with a setup play. It's not the real play you want to run, and it has to be perfectly set up for you to even have it successful. There's no play in the NFL that perfectly goes your way. You execute, you take advantage of someone else's mishaps and miscues, but to ask your team with 14 seconds left in its season, in its playoff life, to run a perfect play and then have to make sure that the officials are in on this same perfect play just to run the play you really desire, maybe you need to abandon that plan and try something else. So when I saw Dak Prescott take off running, I'm like, oh, one, he's not going to get far enough. Two, time is going to expire because he's in the middle of the field. And three, what's the point just to get closer for a five vertical play from the 25-yard line? And who's to say that from the 25-yard line, they will still be successful? So I think it was just a lot of unnecessary drama and theater for a play and for a moment that didn't need it. If anything, try and force a sideline pass. Try to get out of bounds if you may. And then try to run two or three plays that way versus Dak Prescott with a quarterback run and obviously time expired.
Yeah, I've been beating this drum all day that I plant 95% of the blame on Dak Prescott. I thought he was awful yesterday. His stats would indicate that. I mean, he put 17 points on the board at home, on the turf, in a controlled environment. I mean, it's not 15 below. It's not windy. It's not outdoors. It's not on the road. He's got weapons down there, and I didn't think he performed well. And I didn't love his post game either, where I thought it was a cop-out because we'll play the audio here. He was asked about fans, what looked like they were throwing stuff at the players. It turns out they were throwing it at the refs. And when that was brought to his attention, this was the back and forth last night postgame with Dak Prescott.
But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter, be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they're aiming at the referees.
Yeah. Credit to them then.
That's what I'm saying.
Credit to them.
Do you think that's just off the cuff goofing around, or is there more to that? What do you make of that comment from Dak?
Yeah, I hear a lot more pain in that laughter from Dak Prescott or that intended joke than anything. It's just classic deflection. In that moment, Dak Prescott doesn't want any more scrutiny, any more heat. So he just displaces his aggression. He hot potatoes his pain and said, here, let's throw it somewhere else. And let's throw it at the low-hanging fruit, the officials. So it's a cop-out. It's a regrettable moment for Dak Prescott, who usually says at least the right things all the time. You know, that's a guy that you can say what you want about him as a quarterback, and you can question some of his execution, but you always can think of Dak Prescott in high character. That wasn't the moment. And then, like you said, it's a cop-out because the officials did their job not perfectly, just like Dak Prescott tried to do his job, but not perfectly. So why put the blame on the officials when you got a team that is the number one scoring offense in the NFL, number one offense in the NFL, number one in takeaways, and neither one of those things you live true to in terms of how you played and executed yesterday. So, yeah, it's regrettable to talk about the officials in that respect, but you know you're going to get the chuckles. And more importantly, I think he didn't want people to really ask him, what happened in that moment? You keep talking about how you practiced it over and over again. Well, did you practice handing the ball to the official instead of to your center? Because if you practiced it that way, you were practicing it the wrong way.
Right.
I think Dak just wanted the way out of that moment.
So Patrick Mahomes put on an absolute clinic last night. That was historic. The guy throws up 5 touchdowns, or the Chiefs did, in the fastest order we've ever seen in NFL history. And 24 hours prior to that, you could argue the Bills had a perfect game offensively. They didn't kick. They didn't punt. They didn't no field goals, no turnovers. Perfect on fourth down across the board. It was exceptional. It's going to be Allen versus Mahomes this week. How close do you think these two guys are to actually being on the same level, Mahomes and Allen?
I think they're on the same level in terms of performance. I would have to give the resume to Patrick Mahomes, obviously, over Josh Allen. In terms of production, you would probably give a closer nod to Patrick Mahomes. But in terms of talent and potential, oh, that's clearly Josh Allen's crown to wear. That is the most talented player we have at the quarterback position in the NFL. And when all things activate, when all things are properly executed, there is no beating Josh Allen at that quarterback position. He went out there against New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, no turnovers, no punts, and then had more touchdowns than incompletions. Man, in those elements, in that cold, Josh Allen is special. So if the team can commit to the running game like they did against the Patriots, and they go out there and just play their game in their own discipline, stay within their skin, oh, they have more than what it takes to go out there and beat Kansas City at their game.
Well, and I would say the other big dog in the AFC right now is probably Joe Burrow. You know, until Justin Herbert gets to play in the dance, he's probably going to be on the outside looking in. And I was impressed with Burrow in his first game at home, especially in the first half. That one scramble towards the sideline, and, you know, he finds a receiver, he buys his time. What do you make of Burrow and the idea that this guy's quickly building on his legacy in a town like Cincinnati, where it's not been known for great quarterbacks for quite some time?
You know how his talent, attribute, is really between his ears. And you can look at him physically and say, yeah, he's good but not great. But mentally, he's off the charts. I think that Joe Burrow is the next in line in terms of possessing greater mental attributes than even physical ones. And we're seeing the results of that. It's contagious that his teammates feel that same confidence go through the entire team in terms of everyone playing better than their version before Joe's Burrow. This is a team that is just maximizing its talent. And they have holes on the roster. They have issues in terms of their roster construction. But Joe Burrow's confidence and leadership and will is really what's taking this team so far so fast. And it reminds me of Tom Brady, where you just could put your finger on it when you look at it, but when you see the results, you know exactly what it is. This is just what definition of leadership looks like in Joe Burrow, and he's been doing it since college. So now I think we all got to just pay full respect to what the guy possesses in terms of mentality and moxie. Yeah, he looks special. I wasn't the highest on him coming out, but he's made me a believer very fast. And like you said, there are other talented quarterbacks out there, more talented than him. But because his greatest strength is between the ears, the sky's the limit for Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Enjoy it tonight, Marcellus. It's going to be a fun one. We'll do it again this time next week. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer, FS1 host. And, yeah, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. How do you compete against that? If
superstar power, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And they're all in their mid-20s. If you don't have one of those guys, you know, that's we wonder why down in Indianapolis they're like, I don't know if we can bring Carson Wentz back. Like, how are we going to compete with these guys? And you got Lamar Jackson who's there. You got Herbert clearly who's there. What if Trevor Lawrence turns into the real deal like everyone thinks he could? There's another guy in the AFC. Crazy young talent, crazy quarterback talent in the league right now.